All right, we are in a new series. I love the new logo, except for when I opened it up. I had it made months ago. Lance Red does great work for us. And then I opened it up again, and I thought, is that the logo from, hunting games or whatever? Hunger Games. Is that the logo from the Hunger Games? Is it? I think the phoenix. It's a phoenix with flame, and ours is a dove with flame. So just so you're saying, we're not stealing anything. We're going to start a series today, and we're going to get into it for a little bit, and then we'll take a break. It's a pretty heavy subject to talk about. I have some vacation coming up later in February. Ted will come back and do James. He's slowly going through James, and every time I need somebody to fill the pulpit, he goes back to where he was and keeps going. And so just so you know, that's what's coming, the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together first, and then we'll talk some about the Holy Spirit this morning. Would you pray this prayer? You don't have to say it out loud. Just say, God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. God, our prayer is that you would be glorified. People hearing this message would be edified, and that Satan would be horrified. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I was challenged. I was a long time ago now, over a year ago. We were talking in the elder meetings about series and where we need to go and about, you know, we're making sure we cover books. I like expositional preaching, and so preaching through books is what we usually do. We want to go word by word all the way through a book and teach that. Every once in a while, there's just a topic that we want to cover. And right away, the elders said, please preach a series on the Holy Spirit. And then one of them said, and that's hard to believe, it's true, but one of them said, in all my years as a believer, I have never heard a pastor stand in the pulpit and preach just about the Holy Spirit for a whole series. I thought, are you serious? And then I had to think about it. I don't think I have preached a whole series on the Holy Spirit. Some maybe avoid it. And I think it's because the Holy Spirit is similar to the book of Revelation. Remember when we studied the book of Revelation? I made some notes about that. It's similar. It's a lot like Revelation. It can be potentially difficult. So here's what I think. Some have heard some things about the Holy Spirit. How many of you would say that's me? I've heard some things. All right, good. Some have strong opinions about the Holy Spirit. Raise your hand if that's you. Okay, everybody's being very careful. Say, I'm not showing my cards, Pastor Don. And some know nothing about the Holy Spirit. How many of you would be willing to? Nobody's going to say that in the church, right? I know there's probably half of you that don't. But we're all in this together, right? High School Musical time. We're all in this together, just like we did in Revelation. Some people had heard some things about Revelation. Some people had very strong opinions about the book of Revelation. Some people had no clue about the book of Revelation and what it's there for. And so I think we're in the same kind of a situation. And I'm just going to say, let's be in this together. Let's learn what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. Now listen, honestly, everyone in this room, we all come to God's word with baggage. What I mean by that is, you're 30, you're 40, you're 50, you're 60, you're 70. I don't know how many years you've been on this planet, but we all come with some previous thoughts. And what I want to encourage us all to, including myself, man, I grew up in a Baptist church. You know how much we emphasize the Holy Spirit? Not much. It's a little scary sometimes, right? The Baptists do believe in the Holy Spirit. They teach about the Trinity, and yet it's neglected. It's one of the most least talked about. And so I want all of us to know, we come to this with baggage, good or bad. It's just baggage. We bring it with us. Amen? Anybody with me this morning? Preacher needs more coffee. You need lots more coffee. Y'all carry baggage. Y'all carry baggage into your marriages. Anybody know that's true? By the time you get married, you had 20-some years with your parents and siblings, and they had an impact on you. You're bringing some baggage. Trust me. I do premarital counseling. I sit them on my couch, and we figure out what the baggage. Some of the baggage is really ugly. Some of it's really handy, but we gotta sift through that. And I want to encourage us as we get into this series that you just understand what's my baggage. And if I hear something and I go, what? We don't get angry. We don't do that, right? We don't get upset. We listen. We study. And then we can ask questions. I really wish we had thought about this a long time ago, Ted, and made all of our small groups discuss this sermon series. I think it needs discussion. So if you're in a small group and you don't know exactly what you're doing, or you can take a break, I would urge you to take these next weeks when we're on the Holy Spirit to allow some discussion, because I think we need to talk it out. We need to say, here's what I'm hearing, here's what I'm thinking, right? It's all very good stuff. But Francis Chan's material is called Forgotten God. Anybody see that material or read that book? Highly recommend it. It's really good. There's also a stack of books on my desk right now that I'd encourage you to read. If anyone is interested in reading alongside this, come ask me. I'll give you some good resources. But Francis Chan, I appreciate his work. We're going to follow his 7 kind of weeks laid out in his book. He calls it Forgotten God, and I think that's true. When you think about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, which do we know least about? Which do we understand least? I think it's probably the Holy Spirit. There's an aura of mystery around the Holy Spirit. That's why I think sometimes it's neglected. I also think it's neglected because pastors do worry that they're going to get arrows. And I know that this church has not been an arrow-slinging church, and I'm so grateful for that. Hey, guys, we got through the Revelation series. We did well. We did okay. I still have a head. You guys are nice. And so I expected to be this way too. My wife did not want me to say that. We were talking about it in the car yesterday, and she's like, you're making it sound like there's an issue. Well, there potentially could be. But I know it won't be. Not at Oakwood. We're gonna learn together and go through this whole series. So I want to kick it off by reading our theme passage. As you look on the screen, Romans 8, 5 through 11. There's a lot of scripture about the Holy Spirit, but we're choosing this to be our theme passage. And I'm going to have it on the big screen, and I'm going to have us all stand. Let's stand together in honor of God's word. And I'll read it this morning. You can just follow along, but we're all going to stand. And let me move my screen. There it is. Romans 8, 5 through 11. You don't need to read. I'll read it for you. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according to the Spirit, with the Spirit, have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, speaking to believers, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. May God add his blessing to the reading of Scripture. You may be seated. Oh, the depth there about the Holy Spirit, the role of the Holy Spirit. In short, in the Spirit there's life. Without the Spirit there is death. Let's close in prayer. No, we got 7 weeks. I can't stop there. But the Bible does make it very clear that you either have the Holy Spirit or you don't have the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about that throughout this whole series. We have, those of us who are believers, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. As we just read, that's an amazing thing. This Holy Spirit was the power that raised Christ from the dead. That same Holy Spirit lives in you and lives in me. That's what resides in us as believers each and every day. And I believe, as we go through this series, I'll show you in Scripture, but I believe at the moment you believe and become a believer, you get the Holy Spirit. And I want to make sure I emphasize this. You get all of the Holy Spirit, not a part, not a portion, not a baby Christian portion of the Holy Spirit. You get the entire Holy Spirit of God residing in you everywhere you go. You are the temple. You are this is the worship center. I don't like calling it a sanctuary, because a sanctuary is the place that God dwells. You are the sanctuary. The sanctuary comes and goes from the worship center. So everywhere you go, you're a temple unto the Lord. And the Holy Spirit is in you. 100%. I even point this out. Middle schoolers, junior high kids, when they get saved, they get the whole Holy Spirit, not a junior high portion. That's an amazing thing. You're not as amazed. You're not around junior hires, I guess. I'm around junior hires. I'm like, they get the whole Holy Spirit just like Doug Schultz. Doug Schultz has the Holy Spirit of God living in him. So does a middle schooler. The whole Holy Spirit. Why do I make a big deal out of this? Well, because a lot of what you've heard is inaccurate. And a lot of what you heard, I'm sorry to say, doesn't come from Scripture. A lot of it comes from songs. And we sing some of them here at Oakwood. Now, listen, your pastor is not, I do not like banning things. And there are certain songs that we've had to talk about. And there's a list less than this many that we've said, let's not do those songs. And there are some that we probably should readdress because, and again, listen to me, understand my heart. We haven't banned them, so I'm not banning. I'm not talking about banning, but some of the theology is just off. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come fill our hearts, flood this atmosphere. Any of you guys ever had a guest come over to your house? Had anybody spend the night maybe? Sitting there at breakfast? How rude would it be when they're there, they've been there for the night, sitting at your breakfast table, and you say, you can come over now. What do you mean come over? I've been here. You're welcome to come over here. No. He is here. We talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. We talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit where you get continually filled. Honestly, friends, you need to understand something. You have the Holy Spirit of God living in you. You don't have to keep coming and asking for it. You don't have to come and ask for a filling of it. You got the whole works. Now listen, I understand where that comes from. Many believers are suppressing the Holy Spirit and grieving the Holy Spirit, and there is no activity of the Holy Spirit evident in them. Yeah, and then that's why we start singing songs. Where are you at, Spirit? Come, Spirit, come. No, the Spirit's been there. What are we doing with the Holy Spirit of God in our lives? It's an amazing thing, friends, and Francis Chan gives this illustration about the caterpillar. I love Amazon. They bring me things in 24 hours. I love that. They brought me this ugly caterpillar. It's fat, black, furry. You know what a caterpillar is. Christians are a lot like, or not like the caterpillar, but we are a lot like what happens to this caterpillar. See, as believers, we believe that once you're saved, the Holy Spirit resides in you. That makes you completely different than the people that do not have the Holy Spirit. And that difference should be noticeable. Are you different than the people that don't know God around you? Are you living differently? Is there an evidence? You see, this caterpillar does an amazing thing. He's just living life on the ground, crawling in the dirt. I don't know what he eats, but it can't be good. And he just does that for as long as he needs to do that. And then one day he goes in for a nap. And this is a chrysalis, right? Am I doing that right? I know what it is because I came home one day and we had a thing on our table, a cage. And I'm like, what's going on? And my wife said, well, we're babysitting. Like, what are we babysitting? Well, Cheryl Nallion has this chrysalis and she had to leave town, so we're watching it. What do you do with it? I don't know what to do with it. Honestly, we didn't do anything with it. We just let it be, right? Because this ugly little, fat little, sorry. It's plastic. Don't worry about it. This ugly little creature, it goes on the ground, living its life. It can't live very far. I don't know what the mileage it gets in its time on the ground, but it can't get very far. And all of a sudden, it goes in for a nap. And it goes into this nap and it has no idea that he gets totally enveloped by this chrysalis. And then what we find later is that this caterpillar comes out, and it's an amazing thing. Can you imagine being fat, plump, hairy on the ground? Wait, talk about Ted. No. Talking about me, right? Fat, plump, furry, not getting very far, and then all of a sudden you wake up and you got wings, and now you can fly. I don't know, Ed, is it true that monarch butterflies, they fly all over and they go like, I don't know, there's a place in Mexico they gather or something like that?
Well, they'll make it south, but there's two or three generations.
Two or three generations, that's amazing. But think about the distance, they're going to Mexico. Woo! From fat, plump, furry, crawling your belly in the dirt, to all of a sudden, well, I've got some examples. Let them fly. Woo! So yeah, some people had a little butterfly. They've been waiting. I taught them how to make them fly today. We got some butterflies in the building. And if you want one, you can have one. Those can go home. I got a whole nother set for the second service. Can you imagine that? What a difference. Do we, as believers, see that difference in our lives? I once was, but now I am. And all of that is due to the fact that you're not doing this on your own. We're different because when we get saved, God unzips us, stuffs the Holy Spirit in there, and we're different. We're different, and a difference shows. So what's the big idea as we get into this whole series today? I've got Jesus. Why do I need the Holy Spirit? I think a lot of Christians think that. I'm good. Got God the Father in heaven. I got Jesus who came to earth. We get to see what he does. I understand that. Woo, I'm good. Why do I need the Holy Spirit? Well, I think when we get through this whole series, you'll understand how vital the Holy Spirit is to us actually living this faith out. It's the difference between a caterpillar and a butterfly. And oh my, is there a difference? Wow. I pray that there's a difference in you. And you'll recognize it's the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit in you and changing you. So don't miss the obvious. Don't we tend to miss the obvious? I believe that as people, we just tend to overanalyze things that don't deserve the time. Anybody think about it? Has anybody here overanalyzed something more than they should have? Oh, I know we do. I mean, every time something comes up, people will tell me, oh, I read about that on the internet. Oh, no. Oh, no. There's people that'll spend hours diving deep on the internet, and I'm like, oh, no. We overanalyze things that don't deserve the time, but at the same time, we tend to plow right past clear, obvious, and important things that do. I'm going to encourage us in this series not to plow right past the importance of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. I was trying to think of an illustration for this, and I thought of my friend Joe. Joe, I'm going to talk about you today. I didn't warn you because I didn't want you to stay home. Joe over here is an amazing guy. Been coming to Oakwood for a while, and at Discover Oakwood, and then later on, we were talking, and Joe has a giftedness and a specialty. He's like, PD, if you ever need help, I want to help you with this. What I do, please let me help you. Now, I want to explain something. It has to do with my truck. I have a Ford F-150. It was given to me by my father-in-law. It's got 230,000 miles on it, but it keeps a-going. I don't know if it's true or not, but I just think the pastors somehow get blessed with things that are impossible, like Fords running 230,000 miles. I believe God blesses us. But something about my truck. It's got one of those tops on the back. What do you call those, a bed cover? Tahoe cover, yeah. Some people's fold, some people's zipper. I have a really supposedly nice one. Mine's on these racks, and you just push the thing, and it opens right up, and you pull it back, and it closes. Well, it's an old truck now, and it's been in Michigan, so you know what's happened. That thing is frozen up. And I spray it all the time with special stuff to keep the, you know, slide. And I've tried, and I've obsessed about this. I've actually gotten in the bed of my truck upside down with the bed closed, and I've studied it with a flashlight and my reading glasses to what's going on here. And I realized that it did that. Can I do it again? Slow motion. Ready? It went. It sunk down. And I think that has something to do with it. And I don't know how to get it to pump back up. I tried different things. I've been in there. I've been working on it. I've been trying it because I'd like to be able to get in the back of my truck. Joe came to me, and he's like, PD, you know, I work on vehicles, and do not go running to Joe with your problems today, all right? Let's not overwhelm Joe. He came and asked, and I'm like, well, Joe, I guess my truck has an issue. I didn't tell him about my Tahoe. You don't even know about that. Don't even talk about it. Don't leave it be. Because I know he's about ready to go outside and look at it. I do have an oil leak. And it's a big oil leak. He's like, oh, they tend to do that. He said, let me come look at it. He came to the church, right? And he brought a ramp, and I gave him my keys, and I didn't know what he was going to do, but he wanted to look at it. He got in my truck that leaks. It was leaking precipitously. And he gets it up on the ramp, and he comes inside, and he says, PD, I tried to put your truck into four-wheel drive to get it up on the ramp, and I realized that doesn't work. I'm like, oh, no. Yeah, that doesn't work. That hasn't worked for a while. And the oil thing, right? I'm like, yeah. Oil's not good, and yeah. Joe took my truck, and he fixed my oil problem. He fixed the four-wheel drive. He then realized, when he was driving the truck back to me, he's like, PD, I noticed that your heating and air conditioning, it only works on four, the highest level. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's what happens. I mean, I've just been driving it that way. In the winter, you just crank the heat until it gets blaring hot, and then you turn it off until you're cold, then you turn it up, and you turn it down, you turn it up, and turn it down, and turn it up. That's how I drive. He's like, the poor man, he's thinking to himself, what is this man doing? And then he said, and I turned your windshield wiper. I'm like, oh, don't turn on the windshield wipers. They're shredded. He's like, yeah, I noticed there's no rubber on that one. It's a mess. I was obsessing about the fact that my little cover wouldn't go this way. How much does that have to do with anything about driving? Right? How much does a truck who's pouring out oil, the four-wheel drive does not engage, the wipers don't work, and the man inside is so worried about his temperature, he's not watching the road. What do you think's important? All the stuff that Joe said, I need to fix these. And he did. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joe, for all that you did. Fixed all those issues. And let's just leave the back bad so I can obsess about something, okay? Do not try to worry about that. I think we're like that as Christians. We obsess about things that really don't deserve the time. I don't want to name them because some of you obsess about them, you'll be offended. But there are issues in the Christian life that people obsess about, as if that's the only thing or the main thing. And then there's things that are actually vital that you need every day, like the Holy Spirit, whose oil lubricates our hearts and who gives us clarity and sight, right? He gives us traction to move forward. The Holy Spirit is essential. And we're worried about the cargo cover. Makes no sense. So this morning, I just want to walk through very simple things. Remembering the forgotten God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a co-equal member of the Holy Trinity. Everybody say Trinity. The Trinity is made up of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But we're not talking about three gods. We're talking about one God with three distinct persons. And that's a very hard concept to understand. That'll blow your mind. We have one God made up of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're totally united in unity, distinctly different, but one. Of course, growing up Baptist, all of my illustrations I ever heard were food related, right? So you got the egg. I'll explain the Holy Spirit. The egg has a hard shell, a white thing, and then the yolk. Three distinct pieces, but you don't say, somebody give me the hard shell, white yolk thing. No, you say, give me an egg. It's one thing. Three distinct parts, right? And it costs a lot of money right now. Anybody want to give me an amen for that? If you're not going to be with me when I'm preaching, at least say amen to the fact that eggs cost $8 for 18, right? That's upsetting. The Holy Spirit, the ice thing, the water, have you heard the water illustration? That water is in liquid, it is in solid when it's frozen, and it's a gas when it evaporates. Three different things, but one thing, right? My favorite is the cherry pie, the warm cherry pie. That one gets me hungry, actually, when I talk about it. You put a cherry pie into the oven, and you bake that bad boy, and it's, ooh, it's so good. And you, if you bring it out, and you cut three exact equal pieces, same size, guess what? As soon as your knife runs through to make those cuts, the inside cherry filling all flows together. Why? Because it's one pie. You might see three distinct pieces that are equal, but there's one pie. Does that all make sense? Welcome to the Baptist food analogy, okay? That's how it is. The Trinity. We believe it's true. Do I understand it? No, I'd be foolish to say that I comprehend it all. I got a cursory understanding because of what the Bible tells us. We all struggle with understanding the whole thing. There comes a time when we study the Word, we get to know all that we can about something, and then the rest we put to faith. I mean, I use this illustration in my ordination council. When they ordained me to be a reverend, I had a council of pastors. Kind of a scary day. You invite all these pastors to come and criticize you, and you know, you give them your doctrinal statement ahead of time, and they can just tear it apart. And I was ready for my council to attack, you know. Ooh, I'm ready. And I knew what I was going to say. If they asked me something that was very difficult, I gave them this illustration. This is a drop ceiling. Do you guys know that there's just about the same height from here to here that there is above these right now? Above these, there's a real high. But if I had a hole over here coming through that tile, and I had a hole in this one over here, and a rope came down, and I had a rope that I could grab onto from each hole, I can't see past the ceiling, but if I grabbed this rope and I pulled it, and this one went up, and then I pulled this end up, and this end went up, I'm going to tell you what I know. What do I know? All I know that is above the roof, it's connected. I can't tell you exactly how that works. It's above my pay grade. Is there a pulley system? Some of you men are always like, well, it's easy, Don. There's a pulley here and a pulley here, and they go together. Or is there a monkey up there holding two ropes? He's just doing what I do. We don't know. You can't see above the ceiling. We're going to tell you all that we can about the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. But honestly, it's hard to understand and grasp sometimes. Sometimes I hold the rope and I just know this is true and this is true. And above the ceiling, God does his work. And he's bigger than me. The minute I think I've got him all figured out, the minute I think I've crawled through the ceiling and joined him is the minute I failed. There is a measure of awe that we need to keep. But we believe and preach the Holy Trinity. And the Holy Spirit is equal part of the Godhead in this Holy Trinity. He is God. Second thing, the Holy Spirit resides in every believer. I talked about that a little bit earlier. You are the temple. You are the sanctuary. God resides in you. Some people get very spiritual about the place where we worship, and they want this to be very spiritual. And then they leave Monday through Saturday, and they don't live anything about the faith out. But they come here, and, Pastor, I want this place very spiritual, right? And we got that backwards. You are the temple of God, and when you go, God is with you all the time. All of your life should bring glory and honor to God. Everything you do with him in you should prove that that existence is true. Is that true about you? Oh, don't come to church to get spiritual. And this is not the sanctuary. Hey, friends, we take these chairs out and play dodgeball in here. We do. I hate to tell you, I mean, sometimes we take the chairs out and we throw footballs around. Why? Because this is a room. It's a great room. It's a wonderful thing. It's a worship center. It's where the Christians gather. But it is not a sanctuary. You are the sanctuary, and I believe the Holy Spirit resides in each believer. Doesn't matter if you're 8 and you receive Christ as your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. Resides. Everybody say resides. And then the Holy Spirit is alive and active. Alive and active. You need to remember that. This is not, you're not on your own here. The Holy Spirit is alive and living and active in you. And the Holy Spirit has several functions in every believer's life. And the Holy Spirit doesn't just do one thing. The Holy Spirit does a lot of things in the life of the believer. And that's what this series is going to be, revealing what does the Holy Spirit do in you. Have you noticed that change? I see it. I lead somebody to the Lord, pray with them. They ask for forgiveness of their sin, and then God works in them. And you can see the metamorphosis. That's the name that we give to this process. Metamorphosis. Fat, black, hairy caterpillar in the dirt. Nap, beautiful butterfly. That's a metamorphosis. It's a change. And I've seen that change. I've seen that difference in a person's life. I remember somebody here at Oakwood came to me after they received Christ. About a month after they became a Christian, they came to me and said, "Pastor Don, something's wrong. Something's wrong with me." This is a man who's worked in a factory for his whole life. And he's like, "Pastor Don, I'm with the guys and I just can't swear anymore. I just can't cuss. I used to cuss like a sailor all the time. All the guys do. Now I go and it feels bad. It feels wrong in my mouth." And then I'll be sitting there working at my spot. And then I'll look around and I'll see Jimmy and I'll see John and I'll see Jose. And I'm like, all these guys don't know Jesus. And if they don't know Jesus, they're going to spend an eternity in hell. And he says, I'll find myself crying. I'm at my desk working and I never cried. What's wrong with me? And I said, it's not you. It's a new person. You've become brand new. God has taken you. And he's done something beautiful. He took the old you and he unzipped you and he put in the Holy Spirit and now you're a new creature. And things change. You couldn't cry before and now you find yourself weeping over lost friends. That's a beautiful thing. There's nothing wrong with you. Everything's just as it should be. Julie and I have talked about this several times. I worry about Gooba kids. Gooba. G-U-B-A, grown up, born again. It's a wonderful blessing to grow up in a Christian family, but sometimes I worry about Gooba kids. I'm a Gooba kid. I'm a grand pooba Gooba. My testimony growing up in the church, receiving Christ at a young age, where's the change, right? You know, I mean, where's that difference? Have I always had this? I've always been saved, I guess, right? No. When there's not a clear, distinct change, and those of us who understand, you know, coming from addiction and having to walk away from that and the power of God in our life, that's clear. But for those of you who haven't walked that path, praise the Lord for that. But do you see the Holy Spirit's work in your life? Have we glazed over it and we're not paying attention to when the Holy Spirit's prompting? Do you know when you get prompted? Do you know? And the Holy Spirit is active. He's alive. I'm telling you, if he's in you, he's guiding. I remember just giving my life back to God. My whole journey was crazy. Prayed a prayer at a young age, but really didn't have Christ in my life. And then I found out as a teenager there was nothing there, and so I received Christ. I've been baptized 3 times. That's how rough it is to get me saved. I've baptized 3 times. Wow. The change. When I gave my life to God and was in college, going to go into ministry, I worked for Herbie Allison in Illinois. He was a hydraulics guy, and I would have to deliver lift trucks to downtown Chicago, the meat market on California Street, and scary place in Chicago. And as I drove in every day, I would see this homeless guy on the street, and he was begging for money. And for some reason, the Holy Spirit started just prompting me about that. And I don't always have that same reaction, but when the Holy Spirit does it, you know something's different. And I remember being an older teen, maybe 20. I don't know if I was even 20 yet. I'm driving this, and I'm thinking, I need to talk to this guy. I should give this guy a sandwich next time. And I would never do it. All summer long, I would never do it. And he was there every time, every day. I remember the day I finally said, I'm going to do it. And I prepared something, had food, had a little money, and I was going to tell him about Jesus. It was my last day of work for Herbie, and I had to go back to school. And I was excited. I'm cruising down the road, ready to pull off to talk to this guy. Ready. I'm ready now. He wasn't there. The only day out of the whole summer that he wasn't there. That was a lesson I learned. You know, the Holy Spirit prompts, we need to react. We need to do it now. I heard a great story this week about, who is it? David Livingston? I think it's David Livingston. Let me make sure I got that name. Maybe it's John. It's John or David. You go do the research. Famous missionary. The story I heard goes like this. This missionary from Africa was serving and struggling. This is way back in the old days. Struggling and serving on the field and finally gets to come home and he's going to go to his church. But he gets to his church and he's disappointed. He's there to give his report, let the church know. And he comes back and he finds out that the church has slowly been kind of dying. And it was just really old people there now, you know, and that's probably what had happened. Many of them had died off. And he goes back and there's not many there. But he says, Lord, help me. I just want to preach this message. I need to preach the message. Don't get me get discouraged. So he preached the message to these few people left. He preached his heart out. And at the end, like every good missionary does, he ended with, who will go? Who will go? Who will go? And then up in the organ pit, back in the day, they had these huge organs. This old lady's up there playing the organ. Well, you have to push the baffles. You ever hear about those? You push air into the old organ. So she couldn't do it anymore. So she enlisted little David Livingston, young little kid. He's on the ground and he's pushing the pedals to keep the organ full of air. So all of a sudden from the organ pit you hear, I will go! David Livingston, little boy, heard this message, said, I will go. They gathered around little David Livingston. They said, here's what you need to do. You need to grow up and you need to go to medical school and get your medical degree and then go over to Africa as a medical doctor, medical missionary. And he did. David Livingston went and became a medical doctor, went overseas and served. He was in Africa, deep into the bush, serving this community and telling people about Jesus. And a tribe nearby had a chief that was very against this and threatened him, actually sent word that they were coming the next day to murder David and all the missionaries and all the people that call themselves believers. David got word of that and began to pray, Lord, do something. Do something. Send help. God, please send help. And the story that I heard said that they came to the next day and nothing ever happened. A year went by and David Livingston connected with this chief that had threatened his life, and the chief gave his life to Christ, and through that the whole village accepted Christ. After that happened, David was interested, so he went to him and he said, hey, listen, a year ago I heard that you were coming to kill me. And he said, oh yeah, yes, we sent word to tell you ahead of time we were coming to kill you. What happened? David said, what happened? Why didn't you come? He said, oh, we did come. I came with my warriors to take you out. Why didn't you do anything? He said, we couldn't. When we got there, there were 39 giants standing in front of your compound. Warriors. And we knew we wouldn't win, and so we went home. David Livingston, on the next break, went home to tell that church what had happened. And the secretary of that church, who takes scrupulous notes, went back and said, I want to look at something. And asked David, what exactly did this happen? On what day did you pray for the Lord's protection? And he told her the date. She went in files and looked. And on that very same day that David prayed for protection for his next day, on the very same day, the church had gathered to pray for his safety. And she said, and you're not going to believe this, there was 39 people in attendance. Now, some of you might just think that's coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe in providence. And I believe that when the Holy Spirit prompts people, things happen. Things happen. He's alive. He's active. And he's got functions in each of our lives. But we suppress. We deny the Holy Spirit. We grieve the Holy Spirit. Friends, we do not need to be praying for more of the Spirit. He is a gift from God given to you. Use it. And so here's what I want to do. I simply want to ask a question. Are my beliefs about the Holy Spirit shaped more by Scripture or by what I've heard or been taught? Each of us need to ask ourselves that. What I believe, is it from the Bible? Or is it just what somebody has told me? So with that said, I purposely have done this because I can see some of the curmudgeons are looking at me saying, Pastor Don, you've just taught 3 points and didn't give one scripture. I know, because here we go. Are you ready? Hang on, everybody. Grab onto your pew because I got some scripture to read today. Since I believe that everything that we should know should come from the Bible, then we're going to end today's message by me simply reading scripture to you. And I put them in your notes purposefully because I hope you'll go over these during the week. Give you something to go back to and read. First of all, I want to say, and it's not on your notes, there's 3 scriptures that aren't in your notes, and they're just simply precursors. One of them is Jesus himself in John 6:63. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Jesus himself told us that the Spirit was going to have a ministry. He said, God is going to give you something even greater than I, another counselor. Jesus told us this. Paul in Romans 8:9, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. And then in verse 11, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. And now let's just bathe ourselves in some of the Scripture. I couldn't put all of the Scripture that deals with the Holy Spirit. Some of the Scripture that deals with the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:4-8. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Friends, it's passages like that that I think lend to confusion. Because then some people are like, see, you've got to pray the Holy Spirit in. You've got to be baptized of the Holy Spirit. We need to understand that this is in a unique time in history. Jesus is not risen and gone back into heaven yet. He's still here. All believers in the Old Testament, even believers that were Jesus was on the earth, all of them were uniquely different than us. We're going to study the book of Acts this year as well. We're going to find out that these people were believers, but they did not have the Holy Spirit. I'm a dispensationalist. I believe God works at different times in different ways. The Old Testament believers did not have the Holy Spirit in them. The Holy Spirit could reside on them, but we're different now. These people were the in-between times where they did not have the Holy Spirit. They needed to receive the Holy Spirit. I don't believe that's us today at all. I believe that once we're saved, we get the Holy Spirit. So we get confused when we go back and read things of a different time. People have different needs. That's not us today. So when you hear of terms like baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's referring back to this time when people who didn't have the Spirit needed to receive the Spirit. If you're a believer, I believe you got the Spirit the moment you received Christ as Savior. That already happened. Let's move on. Acts 2:1-6, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house while they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. The definition of that word tongue is languages. These were actual languages, not gibberish. Languages as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each of them heard their own language being spoken. So we know of tongues. We're going to talk about the ministry of tongues, but you need to understand that it's logos, word, languages that is being spoken. Acts 4:31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Words, logos, language. They spoke the word of God boldly. Romans 8:1-17. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. Those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. The mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Later in verse 26 and 27, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. The Spirit does that. We actually pray with words, and we go to God and we say what we need. Then the Spirit comes along, and he speaks to God on our behalf. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:12-14. What we have received is not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught as by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? 1 Corinthians 12:7-11. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Are you kind of keeping track? That's why I want you to go back and read. You're seeing some of the functions of the Spirit. One by one, we're hearing what the Spirit does in each of us. Second Corinthians 3:17-18. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate or reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Galatians 4:4-7. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir. Galatians 5:16-25. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I tell you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Ephesians 3:14-16. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And finally, in 1 John 4:13, this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit. I believe that a series like this can be an incredible evangelistic tool. The one reason I believe that I am truly saved today is because growing up in the church, a Gooba kid, having always heard these things, I thought I was saved. But it was when I was in high school that I believe the conviction hit me that there was nothing in me. I had just grown up with this. Very dangerous thing to grow up in it, but not have it. And it was the absence of, now I would say, the absence of the Holy Spirit in me that was the thing that I realized I needed to truly be saved. There was no living thing in me that was convicting me and driving me and enlightening me and moving. There wasn't anything there. The Bible talks about having a form of godliness and yet none of the above, right? And so it was this very thing. And I pray that it'll be something for you to strengthen and encourage you. But if you find that there's nothing there, that you're void, and you're wondering right now, I'd say keep coming and hearing about the Holy Spirit. Let the Lord convict. If it's true, maybe you need to receive Christ and then receive the Holy Spirit at the same time and realize what real life for the Christian should look like. You know, are you still fat, furry, crawling on your belly in the dirt? That's not God's plan for you. Let me pray. I hope the Word of God will just sink today and you'll meditate there. And then we'll pray. We'll sing our way out. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll take your words from Scripture and begin to do a work in our hearts and lives in this series. God, we want to know and believe it's true that the Holy Spirit radically changes us and we live differently because of it. God, help us to be sensitive to the Spirit, not asking for more of it, but utilizing what we have. To that end, I pray in Jesus' name.